Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 38 degrees with some ice on our streets this morning. Today is Tuesday, November 22nd, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. A grand jury has indicted a Sitka man who allegedly drove a car full of passengers into Swan Lake while intoxicated. 21-year-old Carlos Macias pleaded not guilty yesterday in Sitka Superior Court to 5 felony counts of assault in the third degree. That's one count for each passenger in a Honda Civic that crashed into the lake around 3 a.m. on October 29th. According to the indictment, Macias told officers he was driving the vehicle and had consumed alcohol. He said he couldn't make the turn from DeGroff onto Lake Street and ended up driving into the lake. The indictment says officers noticed an odor of alcohol and slurred speech. Macias is also charged with driving under the influence, a misdemeanor. The sentencing for a former fisheries aide to Senator Lisa Murkowski has been pushed back again. Arnie Fugelvog will now be sentenced February 7th in U.S. District Court in Anchorage. This is the second delay from the original November 18th sentencing date. Both requests to change the date have come from the defense. Fugelvog pleaded guilty in August to falsely reporting where he caught sablefish intended for interstate commerce. Fugelvog entered a plea agreement that recommends he be sentenced to 10 months in prison, fined $50,000, and ordered to make a community service payment of $100,000 to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation to enhance fisheries habitat in the coastal areas of the Gulf of Alaska. He has been free on his own recognizance. A federal commission has rejected the Southeast Alaska Power Agency's application for a new hydroelectric power plant on an island near Wrangell. SEPA owns 2 hydro plants that supply power to Wrangell, Petersburg, and Ketchikan. The organization has applied to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission for a preliminary permit to study the possibilities for a new hydro site at Sunrise Lake on Woronofsky Island west of Wrangell. FERC this month rejected the application and called the proposal for the project too vague. SEPA CEO Dave Carlson says he's disappointed with that decision.
You're dealing with a federal bureaucracy, and they pointed out some deficiencies. We didn't specify the size of the proposed powerhouse. It's kind of a catch-22. You file for a preliminary permit so you can figure all this stuff out, but they want details now. So, we've done quite a bit of work on it already, and we're just going to resubmit it.
The application said the project may include a dam on the mountaintop lake, along with possibilities for other structures. A FERC letter rejecting the application seeks actual dimensions of a dam and other facilities needed to generate electricity. The letter also notes a lack of information about the reservoir created if a dam is built and information about transmission lines. Carlson says SEPA will revise its application.
Well, we'll make our best guess. Again, you apply for a preliminary permit so you can really do the in-depth investigation of we don't know what the geology is if you put a dam in, and that's going to be critical. And I can cite examples where you'd propose to put a dam in, like at Allison Lake, and they found out the geology was so terrible you couldn't do it. So, this is the whole purpose of filing, is so you can spend some time in the field and figure this stuff out. But FERC wants us to make our best guess first, so we'll do that. But obviously it'll change once you get the field work going.
SEPA is pursuing Sunrise Lake to add power generation to the Southeast power grid. At 4 megawatts, it would be much smaller than the existing hydro plants at Tyee Lake and Swan Lake. It is close to the existing transmission line that runs between Petersburg and Wrangell. The city of Wrangell previously held the preliminary permit for the project and has also considered tapping Sunrise Lake as a water source for the community. A preliminary permit lasts for 3 years and would allow SEPA to study hydro potential at Sunrise Lake. State officials will soon start drafting a preliminary report on Petersburg's borough petition. For the next several months, the local boundary commission staff will be considering the details of the proposal and the public comments it's generated. Matt Lichtenstein has an update.
By the deadline late last month, the local boundary commission received more than 50 pieces of correspondence from opponents and supporters of the Petersburg Borough Plan. A lot of the comments came from individuals who would be incorporated into the proposed borough boundaries, most of whom opposed the plan. Bob Lynn is among them. He lives in Duncan Canal on Kuprinoff Island, roughly 20 miles south of Petersburg by boat. Lynn once sat on the local commission that drafted the original borough charter several years ago. The charter served as the foundation for the petition, which was later developed by city staff, consultants, and elected officials. Lynn does not think the final product represents the interests of people in outlying areas that would be brought into the new borough.
Reading the petition and having been involved originally in development of the charter, I went back to the petition and I got real concerns about the carry through from the discussions of that charter group into what's in the petition.
Like many people who oppose the borough, Lynn has a number of concerns. One centers around property tax equity and the possibility that the proposed tax rates for the new borough territory will increase. Under the borough, all the territory inside the former Petersburg boundaries would be considered Service Area 1. Residents there would continue paying what they pay now, roughly 11 mils of their assessed property value at borough formation. However, all newly incorporated areas outside the old boundary would only pay 4 mils. That's based on the minimum 4 mil equivalent that local governments have to contribute to their schools. The 4 mil area would include residents who live along the highway close to the boundary with Service Area 1. Lynn expects the substantially different tax rates in close neighboring areas will lead to complaints from residents who have to pay the higher rate.
There's no more services on the other side of that boundary sign than there is on the inside of that boundary sign, i.e. the Petersburg side. So why, if I was one of those citizens, I'd come forward to the assembly and say, hey, assembly, this doesn't make sense. Those people ought to be paying the same rate we are. Ah, yeah, assembly says, oh my golly, you're right. So they have one or two ways to go. One is you either have to go up with the people outside or you have to come down with the people on the inside of that in Service Area 1. Then that begs another question about then what do you do inside, because that's obviously going to drop your revenues. So I think that any assembly would have to say, oh, the rest of Mitkoff Island now is going to be 11 or 12 mils.
Lynn, a retired Tongass Forest supervisor, says he's not opposed to paying a 4 mil tax rate for education. However, he believes the current petition is financially flawed and underestimates the costs of a new borough government while overestimating its revenues. Opposition to Petersburg's borough is not limited to individuals. The local boundary commission also received resolutions and letters of opposition from several organizations and communities, including the city of Kuprinoff, which is across the Wrangell Narrows from Petersburg and objects to being included in the borough. The city and borough of Juneau is contesting Petersburg's northern boundary and has filed its own annexation petition for part of the area claimed by Petersburg. Finally, the village of Cake on western Kuprinoff is objecting to Petersburg's western boundary, which would encompass roughly half of Kuprinoff Island. The Cake School District, the city of Cake, and the town's tribal government, the organized village of Cake, signed on to a joint resolution asserting that the boundary infringes upon territory that's been used by Cake since time immemorial. Cake Mayor Henrich Kadake.
Well, a lot of it is I think it's because we didn't want it, because a lot of these lands all the way almost to Petersburg, the natives have used this land for years, and in the early 40s it was recognized as a subsistence area for the Cake people.
Kadake believes Cake and Petersburg have good relations, and he has a lot of friends in Petersburg, but he says his community does not want a Petersburg borough right on its back door. Several of those who commented in support of the borough emphasized Petersburg residents' current and historic use of territory in the proposed boundaries, especially for commercial fishing. Petersburg City Borough Attorney Jim Brennan helped develop the petition and has been preparing the city's response to the public comments. In terms of the Kuprinoff boundary, he says it was based on an historic book called Our Land, Tlingit and Haida Land Rights and Use.
And we've taken care to respect those traditional territorial rights on Kuprinoff Island. Where we varied from it is to try to be in conformity with natural geography, which is what one of the standards for borough formation and borough boundaries,
Beyond taxation and planning, the borough does not offer new services or infrastructure to the outlying areas it would incorporate. But Brennan, like many supporters, argues the city already provides some services for people living outside its boundaries. Supporters who commented to the Boundary Commission also point to the increased tax base as a needed source of funds for local schools. Patty Norheim is a former Petersburg School Board member.
Public education is a priority in our society, and we have agreed and to provide and pay for all children in the district, regardless of whether a household has children or not.
After receipt of the petitioner's response, local Boundary Commission staff supervisor Brent Williams says he and his co-workers will be working on their preliminary report. The preliminary report is followed by another public comment period, a final report, and a hearing before the actual Boundary Commission itself, which is tentatively set for late May. In the meantime, the commission staff has also started reviewing the city and borough of Juneau's recently filed annexation petition. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
A late November storm is blasting Washington State with high winds, drenching rains, and heavy snow. The National Weather Service has a high wind warning on the coast of Washington until noon today. Flood watches through tomorrow night for rivers that easily flood in western Washington, and a winter storm warning for the North Cascades until 6 p.m. today for up to a foot of new snow. Forecasters expect rain, showers, and mountain snow to continue across the state of Washington through the Thanksgiving weekend. Travelers passing through Alaska's largest commercial airport this week should expect more people than usual, but nothing out of the ordinary for the Thanksgiving travel period. John Parrott, the manager of Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport, says that if people show up 2 hours before their flight, they should be in good shape. He says there also should be ample parking. The airport has several thousand spots, and he says it's never been completely full, even during the summer tourist season. All in all, he expects a typical holiday period. Sun weather forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for rain showers, highs around 39, southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour, shifting to the southeast in the afternoon. This is Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.